today on Adventures in Faith with Jerry Savelle.
When you have no idea where God wants to take you, then it becomes very easy for your adversary to distract you. But when the promises of God that you've learned from His Word create the foundation from which you establish your goals, then remaining focused enables you to achieve them. Got your Bibles with you this morning? Let's open them, first of all, to Matthew chapter 8. And before I begin reading, I've got several comments I want to make. If you remember, the instructions which the Holy Spirit gave us regarding how our 2024 could be a year of progression, advancement, promotion, and highest expectations being fulfilled, those instructions were, number one, stay in faith. Number two, remain focused on the promises of God. And number three, refuse to be distracted by what is happening in the world around us. Now, we've talked about each of these points, but I want to, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I want to focus today on being focused. Staying focused. Being focused and staying focused on the promises of God. Amen. Before I became a man of faith back in 1969, the Lord said to me as I was reading the Word one morning, and the first scripture that I saw when I opened my Bible, Carolyn had put a Bible in my shop that I didn't read, and as soon as she left, I hid it because I didn't want any of my customers seeing a Bible on my desk, you know. But in 1969, in February of 69, when Brother Copeland came, and I went to the last service. I won't go into all the details there for the sake of time, but that's the night that my life changed. I didn't go forward in the service, but when we got home that night, I couldn't sleep, and I got up and walked into the living room, and I said, I don't know, God, why you still want me. I've been running from you all my life, but if you do, I'm here. I surrender to you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I knew I was called to preach, and I didn't want to do that prior to this particular day. But I said, I'll preach if that's what you want me to do. And I received my salvation. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then from that moment, I could not get enough of the Word of God. And back in those days, they recorded messages on reel-to-reel tapes. And there was a lady that was part of Carolyn's prayer group at the church that came by that next day after I'd made that decision, 3 o'clock in the morning. And she brought a grocery sack full of reel-to-reel tapes of the meeting that Brother Copeland had done that week at Life Tabernacle. He preached 3 services a day for about a week. And so she had them all recorded and brought them over to our house and said, Jerry, if you'll listen to these, God told me it'll change your life. And so I said, well, how am I supposed to listen to them? She said, you don't have a tape player? I said, no, I don't. She said, I'll be right back. So she went home and brought her tape player back and said, the Lord told me to give you this, but I was hoping you already had one. So that's the reason I didn't bring it with me. And she said, but I'm giving you this. And of course, it was a big tape player, and it had 2 speakers that sat on the side. You didn't carry it around under your arm. You set it on a credenza or a desk, and those reel-to-reel tapes. So I began listening to them, and I was hearing things I'd never heard before. Of course, I didn't know anything about the Bible, and I'd read, you know, stories, you know, children's stories when I was a little boy in a little Baptist church down on the end of our road. But as far as knowing anything about the life of faith, I knew nothing. And I remember opening my Bible that morning. Brother Copeland said, open your Bibles to the book of John. And he went to another verse, but my eyes fell on a verse that said this. You'll all recognize it. If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And you've heard me tell this before, but that little word continue jumped off the pages and into my heart. And the Lord said to me, you've always been a good starter, but you've never been a good finisher. He said, if you don't develop the art of continuing, you will never be the man I want you to be. You'll never be the father I want you to be. Never be the husband I want you to be. And you certainly will never be the preacher that I want you to be. So start developing the art of continuing. Stick with it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, stick with it. And so that morning, I made a decision. Now, I'd heard Brother Copeland in that meeting that I attended the night before. I heard him make this statement, make a quality decision. And I really did not know what a quality decision was. I'd really never heard that phrase before. I'd heard the word decision, but not quality decision. And then later, many months later, when he came back, I had an opportunity to talk to him. I said, what did you mean by a quality decision? He said, a decision that you would base your life on and don't change, don't compromise. I said, okay, that's what I did. I just didn't know that's what it meant. So I made the decision that from this day forward, quitting is not an option. And I will develop the art of continuing. And that's what I've done for 54 years now. I am no longer a quitter. I'm a winner. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, if you stop being a quitter, you can be a winner. Amen. So, as I begin to study that verse, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Okay? So that's talking about consistency. It's talking about continuing. It's talking about sticking with it. Now, I never had been good about that in the past. I was easily distracted. And the Lord was right. He knew me. I was a good starter. I was always starting something. I'm going to start this. I'm going to start that. I'm going to start this. And I'm going to start that. But it wouldn't last very long. I remember when I was in junior high, I learned to pole vault. And I enjoyed pole vaulting, but that was not my best sport. My best sport was baseball. And going into high school, I'd played baseball ever since Little League. And going into high school, track season was at the same time baseball season was. And I had decided my senior year that I'm going to pole vault this year. And I had decided I can break the high school record. Now, I wasn't a praying man, but that night before the meet, the Woodlawn Invitational Track Meet, by the way, that same year, Terry Bradshaw was a sophomore. He was in the same year that Carolyn was. They went to school together. And Terry was a javelin thrower, and he broke the national record, and it still stands today. And most of you will never guess who held the record before Terry Bradshaw broke it. Anybody remember Little Joe on Bonanza? He held the national high school record for javelin throw, and Terry Bradshaw broke it, and he flew to Shreveport and congratulated Terry, and it's in Carolyn's yearbook. So anyway, just a little trivia there. Terry was the javelin thrower, and I was going to pole vault that year, and one of my best friends was a high jumper. And so we were practicing one day, and the baseball field was just a little ways from the track, and the baseball guys were over there playing a game. And I'm over here practicing pole vaulting. And the night before that meet, I got down on my knees in front of my bed. I said, Lord, if you'll just let me break the high school record pole vaulting, I promise you I'll give you all the praise and I'll serve you. Now, you know what happened. I lied like a dog, you know. And not only did I not break the high school record, I broke my leg. broke my left leg, right around the calf, just broke my left leg, and wound up being in crutches for 13 weeks. I couldn't pole vault, and I couldn't play baseball. And my dad said, "Son, why didn't you stick to what you were good at?" I said, "Dad, I just wanted to pole vault. I got distracted." Don't look at me so holy. Any of you ever been distracted? Yes. Now, pole vaulting was my distraction from playing baseball. It took me a whole year, you know. Actually, I was on crutches for 13 weeks. And just before I was to get the cast off, I was in the gym, and the guys were playing basketball, and somebody saw me walking across the gym, and they threw the basketball and said, "Do a layup, Savelle." And I dropped my crutches and grabbed the ball and went up like this and came down on that leg and rebroke it. And was in the cast for another 13 weeks. So I was on crutches most of my senior year, you know. And anyway, it ruined my baseball playing. It certainly didn't. That's the last time I ever tried to pole vault. Okay. And it was the last time I prayed, too. Until 1969, you know. And I thought, well, maybe God misunderstood. I said, "Break the record, not break my leg," you know. You have to be specific, you know. So anyway, Dad kept saying, "Son, why didn't you just stick to what you were best at?" But I lost focus. I was distracted. That's what distractions are designed to do, cause you to lose focus. Amen? And that was kind of the story of my life and in those early years. And another thing that would distract me was girls. That's a good distraction. You know, I'd get to going in a certain direction, and boy, I was all out. And then some pretty girl would distract me. You know, that's what happened to me my first semester of college. I was going to Louisiana Tech. And I was dating a girl before Carol and I started dating. I was dating a girl. She was a senior in high school, same high school Carol and I graduated from. We started going together my senior year in high school. And I just thought I was going to marry her. And next thing I know, I'm dropping out of school and you know, planning on marrying her and going to work doing paint and body work. That's what my dad taught me to do. And anyway, it turned out we broke up, thank God. That would have been a disaster if we'd have married. It wouldn't have lasted anyway, but thank God we didn't even go to the altar, okay? We broke up. And then I decided I'd get back in college. And the reason I decided to get back in college, Vietnam was going on hot and heavy. And I got a letter in the mail, "Greetings. Report to your nearest recruiting office. I said, "Well, I'd like to serve my country, but I'm not ready to go to Vietnam yet, so I'll just get back in college." But I went to a different college where they didn't know my reputation as a quitter, so I went to Northwestern State College. And the same thing was happening there, distractions. Carol and I started going together, and I won't go into all that story, but we started going together, and shortly after that, there was a girl at college. Now, Carolyn's back home in high school. And there was a girl in college that I knew, and she had been a cheerleader in high school that we graduated from. She was 1 year behind me. And she and I started going together, dating, rather, seeing each other. But Carolyn had my ring, my class ring. Remember when the girls used to wear your class ring around their neck on a chain? We were going together, and I'm dating this girl at college. It was a distraction. It was distraction. Can you see the look on her face right now? I was distracted. I was easily distracted, you know? And she wanted me to, she was running for cheerleader at Northwestern and wanted me to handle her campaign for winning a spot on the cheerleading squad. Well, my cousin, Wade Porter, He was a commercial artist, and I had him to draw up all the posters. And he, I mean, they were amazing. They were the best looking posters on the campus and supporting this girl. And as it turned out, you know, I tried to break up with Carolyn and she wouldn't break up with me. She wouldn't give him a ring back. I said, well, just keep the ring. So anyway, it wasn't until I became a man of faith and got into the Word of God that all changed. That old man died, and a new man came into being. And that new man is still living today, praise God. 54 years later, and I am not easily distracted, and I'm not a quitter. I'm a winner, praise God, because I learned how to stay focused. You don't have an international ministry like we have and not be focused. Because I'm pulled in every direction you can imagine. Every direction you can imagine. And I'm asked to do this, and I'm asked to do that, and I'm asked to support this, and I'm asked to support that. I'm asked to come here, I'm asked to come there. And if you're not focused on what God's told you to do, you can be easily distracted and wind up doing a lot of things that God didn't call you to do. And I did that one time. I had a lot of different outreaches that we were doing. The problem was I saw the need and I didn't see anybody fulfilling it. So I said, well, I'll just step to the plate and fulfill it. But it was taking away from my time, my energy, and my finances from doing what I was really called to do. And so finally I had to, you know, kind of bring everything into focus again and let go of some things I was doing and start focusing back on what I'm truly called to do. So you can't do what I do without being extremely focused. And I learned how to become that way many, many years ago. So I want to talk about the importance of staying focused on the promises of God, because that's part of the instructions that God said we must follow if we want our 2024 to be a year of progression, advancement, promotion, and our highest expectations being fulfilled. Is anybody interested in that? All right, now, let me say a few things here about focus. Your ability to remain focused on what God has promised will determine if you ever reach the place that God wants you to go. Let me say it again. Your ability to remain focused on what God has promised will determine if you ever reach the place where God wants you to go. Focus enables you to see what God sees. And remaining focused keeps you moving toward the fulfillment of it. I wrote this down in my notes. It just come up in my spirit as I was writing these notes. You could say it like this. Focus is the vehicle that takes you to the place where you experience God's best for your life. It took a vehicle to get you here to church today. Focus is the vehicle that will take you to the place where you begin to experience God's best in your life. Amen? Then I want to say this. That's why you should start your day every day thinking about the promises of God that tell you what you can be, what you can do, and what you can have. Amen. What you can be, what you can do, and what you can have. God's Word is like a compass, a navigational instrument for leading us into the right direction. Psalm 119, 105 says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's a compass. The Message translation says, By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. The Passion translation says, Your word guides me, listen to this, in my choices and in my decisions. The revelation of your word makes my path clear. So our focus must be on the Word of God and the promises that we find therein. His Word is a lamp unto our feet. So when you have no idea where God wants to take you, then it becomes very easy for your adversary to distract you. But when the promises of God that you've learned from His Word create the foundation from which you establish your goals, then remaining focused enables you to achieve them. If you can't maintain your focus, then it's not likely that you'll ever experience the fulfillment of what God has promised. Can you say amen to all of that? You want me to repeat it all? No. Now, how many of you ever saw the ball game or the movie about For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner? I love that movie because it's a baseball movie, okay? And Kevin Costner plays for Detroit in the movie. And in this game that it's all about, they're playing the New York Yankees. Kevin Costner is the pitcher. He's 40 years old. He's been playing professional ball in this movie for years now. And he's up to the place where he's considering retirement. But he has this game that he must win. And so when he goes to the plate, if you remember the movie, the noise in the stadium, there's thousands of people, and the noise in the stadium is the roars, the cheers, the bad language, you know, the cursing him, and so forth. You can hear it in the movie. And he makes a statement before he throws the first pitch. Mechanism engaged, or mechanism, clear the mechanism, meaning remove all distractions. That's what it means. And then the next thing you see in the movie is he bends down and focuses on the plate and on the catcher. And he begins to play the game. It turns out he pitches a no-hitter. And then he retires. Okay? But I love that part. I wish I'd have known that when I was playing baseball. I didn't know clear the mechanism. But I did know you can't pay attention to the crowd except the ones that are cheering you, you know. And my dad never missed a game I ever played. And he was the one who shouted the loudest, "Strike him out, Bubba." I could hear him above everybody, "Strike him out, Bubba." And that was his way of removing all the distractions. And then when he got ready to throw that first pitch, he looked at the plate and he looked at the catcher and nothing else. Amen. How many of you, or is there anyone in here that is a pilot or going through flight training of any kind? Okay. When you go through flight training, and I did many, many years ago, and part of your flight training is you learn about instrument flying, which means you're flying by the instruments. You're not flying visible. You're not looking out the window. You're not looking for markers and so forth out the window. You're strictly flying by the instruments, okay? And what they do in order to teach you how to be focused on the instruments is they put a hood on you. Amen. Okay? Now, what's this? See that hood on the front of that pilot there? That's to keep that person from looking out the window, looking out the side. That panel there is the instruments, and he's listening to an air traffic controller for headings, and he's got to put those instruments on that heading and focus on those instruments. And if he gets off 1 degree by being distracted, he's going to wind up somewhere that he didn't want to go. So notice that hood is to teach you how to stay focused on the instruments.
Are life's demands distracting you from your true potential? It's time to filter out the noise and live with clear determination. When you order today's exclusive offer, the Power of Focus Special Package, you'll receive Jerry's inspiring book, Thoughts, The Battle Between Your Ears, and his eye-opening three-part audio series, What It Takes to Stay Focused. In this package, you'll discover how to control negative thoughts, the link between thoughts and actions, secrets to living by divine precision, and steps to align your focus with God's plan. Seize this opportunity to refocus your life and begin living with a clear and dedicated vision. Act quickly. Call or go online now to jerrysavelle.org and request your copy of the Power of Focus Special Package. Your journey to a life of divine clarity and purpose starts now. Embrace the power of focus today.
Thank you so very much for joining with me today, and I trust our lesson has been a great inspiration to your life. You know, the power to stay focused is one of the most important success skills that you could ever develop. Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4 on the sower sows the word that one of the things that Satan will use to steal the word from you, and obviously if he steals the word from you, he's going to prevent you from experiencing God's best in your life. He said one of those things that Satan uses is the distractions of the age. The distractions of the age. There are so many distractions out there today, and so it's so important that you stay focused on God's Word, stay focused on His promises, and don't let the distractions of the age rob you of experiencing God's best for your life. To help you with this, we have a special offer today, and we have this available, 3 CDs entitled, What It Takes to Stay Focused. If you've never learned how to stay focused, this series is so important, and I know that it will inspire you and cause you to be able to develop the art of focusing. And when you do, once again, it's going to help you experience God's best for your life. Right along with that, a book I wrote a number of years ago entitled Thoughts, The Battle Between Your Ears. This is where your greatest battles are fought, right between your ears, in your mind. And if you can cast down imaginations and things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, then you'll be able to stay focused. And once again, if you're able to stay focused, then praise God, you'll experience God's best. So to order these products and resources, go to our website, jerrysavelle.org, or look on the screen right now for all the ordering information. Please place your order right away. We'll get it to you in by return mail. And I know the moment you receive them, it's going to be a great blessing to your life. Once again, thank you for joining with me. Look forward to sharing with you again on our next broadcast. Before we leave the air today, I want to ask you a question. There may be some of you that have never received Jesus as the Lord of your life. You know, it's very easy. The Bible says if you confess Him as Lord and believe that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And I want to encourage you to do that right now. And also, I want to encourage you to order this little digital download. I wrote a book entitled, You're Somebody Special to God. And we want you to receive it so that you know just how special you are and all that God has planned for you. I'm telling you, God has planned a wonderful life for you, the abundant life. So go to jerrysavelle.org and download this little book.